What do the following people have in common? Albert Camus, Jackson Pollock, Jane Mansfield, Princess Grace, and Princess Diana? Well, they all died as a result of car accidents. A book called Car Crash Culture explores these celebrities' deaths, along with other dark automotive matters. Makita Brotman is the editor of Car Crash Culture. She also wrote a few of the essays in the book. Brotman told Anne Strainchamps that she became interested in car crashes 10 years ago, after she experienced her first accident.
It took place in northern Cyprus, where I was living and teaching at the time. I'd been out to a bar, and I was coming home quite late at night, and I'd had a few drinks. I was probably a little bit over the limit, but there were no breathalyzers, there were no police, there were no street markings, and there were no road lights. It was a very rural kind of area. About a mile before my apartment building, I saw some headlights which seemed to be on my side of the road. It was a car that had turned into the road and was coming towards me. And then the next thing I knew, I was kind of sitting in the car thinking the car had stalled. And obviously I'd been through the accident but wasn't aware of it. And I tried to start the car. And gradually it dawned on me that I was in the middle of this serious accident. There was another car kind of embedded in the hood of mine. There were people wandering around covered in blood. And the whole time I felt nothing except excitement and the fact that it was very thrilling. I'd never been in an accident of any kind. And I was rather shocked by how much I enjoyed it. Now, people have told me that I was probably in shock and that was an effect of the adrenaline. But it really made me think carefully about, you know, the nature of accidents and how accidents and things that we normally think of as traumatic can actually have an exciting and pleasurable side to them too.
What could be thrilling? I mean, what was thrilling about it?
I think just the fact that I'd never been in a major accident before, the fact that all my senses felt kind of heightened and aware, and the fact that I had this awareness and I was in no pain, so it seemed very clear to me that I ought to take this up. This was an opportunity to observe everything, to watch everything, to record it for myself. And, you know, it was almost like an out-of-the-body experience, but it was being present and being fully aware in a situation where you would normally expect to be numbed or shocked or traumatized. So it almost felt like a near-death experience or something like that.
We have this particular fascination in American culture with celebrities who've been killed in car crashes. And I was really interested to read in your book, you write about the car crash as kind of this archetypal means of celebrity death. I think you call it a sacred moment in time, even a magic ritual. What do you mean by that?
Well, a sacred moment of time in that that moment then becomes the focus for all kinds of conspiracy theorists and celebrity fans, and relics from the car are often find their way into people's homes. I know James Dean's car was taken apart and the pieces of his car sold almost in the way that saints' relics used to be, or pieces of the cross, Christ's cross, used to be. I know a friend of mine who collects these kinds of things, and he has a piece of glass from the windscreen of Princess Diana's car. So there is something kind of ritualistic and fetishistic in a sacred way, and people collect the artifacts of the last moment of the celebrity's life, just the same way that someone fascinated by religion would accumulate saints' relics.
Have you ever asked your friend why he collects these things? I mean, what does having a piece of the car window from Princess Diana's car do for him?
I think it's not very different from people who collect autographs or who collect souvenirs. I mean, it's kind of inserting yourself into history. In this case, it's kind of the underside of history. It's a dark moment in history, but it's a way of feeling connected to a more important world, I think. And in this case, a darker world, too.
You mentioned James Dean's crash. That was one of the most famous and earliest really big celebrity car crashes. Why do you think that one is so legendary?
It's partly to do with James Dean himself. I mean, he had this reputation of being a very destructive personality, but in a kind of sexy way. I mean, he was not just a great film star. He was also a fan of drag racing, and he was someone who experimented with drugs and with speed. And there's also an interesting kind of constellation of circumstances. Not long before his death, he made an ad for the Highway Safety Committee about the dangers of speeding, and he was also in Rebel Without a Cause, in which one of the climactic scenes is the death of a young person. So I think he really sums up what's often called the Icarus complex, the person who flies too close to the sun, the person who can't stop indulging in self-destructive acts, and in the end, they have to pay the price. And it's often the price that they pay for the rest of us. They're kind of a scapegoat. I mean, things like drugs and self-destructive behavior, and these are things that many of us would perhaps like to indulge in, but are a little too afraid. And so a character like James Dean kind of represents what we would like to do ourselves, and then when they pay the price, we can kind of shake our heads and tut at their behavior.
So that's one kind of moral of James Dean's crash is, in a way, he had it coming. And yet there's another one that's kind of built up that I hadn't known about until I was reading your book. There's this legend that this was an evil car and that even the pieces went on to kill other people.
Right. I suppose the rumors come from the sense that when you're involved in a very traumatic event, that the energy levels from that event can sort of be absorbed by the surrounding artifacts. So people believe that there's something in James Dean's car that had kind of absorbed the trauma and the force of his death. And so the pieces of the car that were then sold off to other car racers and car manufacturers were often supposed to be associated with a series of subsequent deaths. There were, I think, 12 fatalities associated with pieces of the car that were transported to various other places, including Florida, in which some of the deaths were supposed to have taken place. But, you know, these are the kinds of rumors and cryptic allegations that surround a lot of these celebrity deaths. And I think it's just part of the way that we deal with the notion of the accident, especially the accident that occurs to someone who is on the national stage.
It's interesting thinking that what goes hand in glove with our love of the car is our fear of the car. I was thinking about those educational movies that were shown to teenagers usually, and usually part of driver's ed programs in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Mm. You write about one, Signal 30, I think it was called. What is it about Signal 30 that you found especially interesting or compelling?
I don't think there's anything about that film in particular. It just seems to be the most archetypal of the bunch. One of the things that interests me is that this kind of dual narrative running through it is a series of car accidents. And one of the narratives seems to be that these are things that could be prevented. So each of the accidents is attributed to a particular cause, like speeding, or, and it's usually like a high school football star returning home from his night at the prom, or, you know, someone at a special moment in their life, a moment of celebration, or perhaps just an ordinary night out on the town. But each of them is attributed to a certain cause, like drinking or speeding or failure to attend to the traffic signals or so on. So there's a lesson to be learned there that this can be avoided. But on the other hand, there's this other kind of more legendary, mythical sort of tone running through the movie, which is to do with the fact that this could happen to any one of us at any time. And the narrative, which is very almost Elizabethan in its use of archaisms and its melodramatic tone, says things like, you know, fate was not on his side that night, or luck was against him on that dark October night. And there's really this sense of, you know, that this could happen to any one of us at any time. So it's a very interesting sort of conundrum. It's not quite clear what the makers of the film intended, but it makes a very interesting sort of historical and cultural artifact.
I still remember those films as, you called them a rite of passage, and they were, and there was something both horrifying and traumatic about watching them, but something pleasurable, something thrilling at the same time. I mean, people sort of looked forward to when it would be their turn to see this movie.
Right, right.
Do you think in general that's why people are so fascinated by car crashes, that it's, you know, getting as close as you can to something really horrible, but it hasn't happened to you?
Well, when it's a celebrity car crash, yes, I think so, because I think celebrities are kind of, you know, examples of ways of being in the world or ways of behaving in the world that you either vote for or vote against. So when something terrible happens to a celebrity, I think you can either feel that, yes, that's the price they have to pay for that kind of lifestyle, or, oh, what a terrible tragedy, they didn't deserve a thing. But I'm not quite sure if people are fascinated by car accidents. I mean, I certainly am, and I know lots of people who are. But I think the majority of people, certainly in America, tend not to think about car accidents very much. And that's one of the things that makes them so fascinating as far as I'm concerned. I was thinking the other day about September the 11th and how many people died there. And when you think that twice that many people every month are killed on the roads, it just seems extraordinary how little attention is paid to it.
Makita Brotman is the editor of and a contributor to Car Crash Culture. She spoke with N. Strange Champs. And that driver education film that Brotman talked about, Signal 30. Here's a bit of it.
In our rush to get to our next destination, we take our cars for granted. Our perception of speed is ignored. and this moves us one step closer to death. We have fallen into the trap of our own technology as we discover that the human body is no match for a powerful engine and the mass of steel housing it. As long as people drive, there will be death on the highways.